Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you all in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Did you come expecting? Father, we just thank you tonight. We just give you all honor and all glory. Move among us tonight, Father God, and give the people the desires of their heart. Take them into the overflow of your glory and fill them totally and completely full, Father. Do not allow them to leave here empty or drained of your glory. And Father, I thank you for the Godhead. I thank you that you love us and are always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God told me to teach you on sold out tonight. So we're going to look at what God has to say. And as God is speaking to you tonight, I want you to think about where you're at and are you sold out. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says the creation of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now this is what God spoke. Out of the darkness came the light, and that light was my son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. His light shone for all the world to see and is still shining bright today through my beloved ones that have paid the price to set others free from all bondages. Let's read that again. Out of the darkness came the light, and that light was my son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. His light shone for all the world to see and is still shining bright today. How? Through my beloved ones that have paid the price to see others free from all bondages. Now, are you one of those beloved ones? Have you paid the price to see the other people set free? And God said, are you a carrier of that bright light? Does your light so shine before men that it draws all men unto me? Tonight, like never before, you need to check your light switch and see if it's turned on to bright, or do you have it set on dim? Let's read that again. Are you a carrier of that bright light? Does your light so shine before men that it draws all men unto me? That was this question. Tonight, like never before, you need to check your light switch and see if it is turned on to bright, or do you have it set on dim? Now, Matt, you know what he's asking you there, right? Matthew 5:13 says, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Verse 14 says, Jesus still speaking, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, is your light shining to the point and to the degree that it's letting other people see Jesus through you? You really have to ask yourself that every day. God, is my light switch on today? Amen. Maybe we need to, before we get out of bed, we need to say, switch on. And to make sure then you keep the switch on all day so that your light shines before men. God said, many souls dropping into the abyss every day. And I need your compassion. Now listen to this. I need your compassion level on extreme high and your insight set on things above and not on things of this world. Let's read that again. God said, many souls dropping into the abyss every day, and I need your compassion level on extreme high and your insight set on things above and not on things of this world. Now I looked up insight, and it is the capacity to gain an accurate and deep and intuitive understanding of a person or thing. So our insight needs to be set on things above and not on things of this world. It's time that we started comprehending what heaven is all about and quit checking on what's going on in the world, but we need to check on what's going on in heavenly places. See what Jesus is doing for that second, that day, or that minute, and then line up with what he is doing in heavenly places. Instead, we're always checking, I'm hearing God's checking the barometer here on this earth and seeing how the government's faring and getting all upset about that when you should be keeping your eyes fastened on the things in heavenly places. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, did you really die to the things of this world? That's the big question nowadays. Or are you still doing the things of the world and not looking at the things in heavenly places? God went on to say, many victories to be won in this race for life. Set your sight on the prize and never for one instant place them on the things of this world. I know for a fact that the body of Christ is guilty of not setting their sights on the prize. That the body of Christ is guilty of setting their sight on the things that's going on in the world, and then we bemoan all those things. And I'm hearing God saying, you don't bring him glory when you do that type of thing. He wants you to keep your eyes totally and completely in tune to what he is doing at this given time. I'm hearing God say, you don't want to miss what he is doing in any, because he's moving every second of every day. And if you miss one thing that he's doing, you're going to be lagging behind. So you have to be constantly aware of what he's doing, so that you aren't lagging behind, but you're walking with him hand in hand every second of every day, doing his will. Philippians 3:14 says, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. With my eyes fixed on the goal, I push on to secure the prize of God's heavenward call in Christ Jesus. I really want you all to think about this tonight. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. With my eyes fixed on the goal, I push on to secure the prize of God's heavenward call in Christ Jesus. Then God said, tonight I am looking for a holy people, a sold out people, and that's what he called this, a people that no longer care for the things of this world, but are constantly looking for the prize of the high calling that I have placed upon their lives. I want you to get this down in your spirit tonight. Tonight, I am looking for a holy people, a sold out people, a people that no longer care for the things of this world, but are constantly looking for the prize of the high calling that I have placed upon their lives. Each one of us have a calling upon our lives, and that's what we should be nourishing. That's what we should be feeding, is that high calling, so that God at any given second can ask us to do anything that he wants to. And I'm hearing God say, if you would just get to that place in him, you'll find yourself having every desire of your heart answered. And he says, because you lag behind in so many areas in your walk with him, that you are not receiving the answers to your prayers like you so desire. Now imagine yourself back in the Bible days, long before Jesus was born. Our country has been in bondage for many years. We're talking about before Jesus was born. You've been terrorized by the enemy and have little hope of ever being delivered. Then an angel of the Lord comes and tells you that you're a mighty man of valor and God is going to use you to set your land free. And some of you men in here, God has said that to you too, and you're thinking, are you really know who you're talking to, God? He's even said, women, you're mighty women of valor. All right? Let's look at a man named Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7. Do not look at this as something in the past, but apply it to your life for this day that we live in. You know, as you read this, apply it to today. So how was Gideon chosen by God and called a mighty man of valor? Gideon was chosen because he was sold out. He was sold out to God to do God's will. His number one desire was to please God and fulfill the call placed upon his life. His number one desire wasn't for the husband to pay more attention or the kids straighten up. His number one desire was to please God and fulfill the call placed upon his life. It wasn't to have his name on a marquee somewhere. It was to fulfill the plan of God in his life. Because of Gideon's desire, God used him to set an entire nation free. Are you listening to this, guys? He became sold out by surrendering his all to God. He became sold out by surrendering his all to God. He was willing to give everything he had in order to fulfill God's purpose. Are you taking this in tonight? Well, when you take it in, keep it in. Don't lose it the minute you walk out the door. God first asked Gideon to give a sacrifice unto him. I like how God works. He says, show your love to me and that you believe I can do the impossible. Give me a sacrifice. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, right? And Abraham was going to do that. But then an angel said, don't hurt the boy. And the sacrifice was in the thickets. It was a goat of some sort. Now, how many of us would go as far as Abraham did? Well, if God asked you to sacrifice one of your children, how far would you have gone? Would you have said, there's no way? Would you have gone half the way? Would you not have gathered the wood, start the fire? You know what I'm saying? But Abraham, he knew his God. See, this is the difference. Abraham knew his God, and he even told his son, God will make a way. Abraham knew all along that God was testing his obedience. What has God asked you to do? And you're dragging your feet. But really what God is doing is testing your obedience. Are you really sold out to me? Is what God is saying. Today, God is requiring our sacrifice. A sacrifice is anything your flesh doesn't want to do. Like praying, giving of your finances and time, ministering to soul in need, whatever. The Bible says to crucify your flesh daily. Every day we must wake up and make Jesus Christ our first and foremost desire. Not your wife, not your husband, not your job, but Jesus. We have to be fully sold out to God's will for our lives. This is where we're lacking. We are not fully sold out to God. We're just not. We want what we want when we want it. And it doesn't work that way. We get it when God decides to give it to us. Like this building's falling apart, and I've been for years saying, God, where's my new building? And he said, when you quit asking me, I'll give it to you. See, I'd taken my eyes off the really important things of God, and I was concentrated on this building that's falling apart. The Holy Spirit's holding it together so you don't have to worry. Amen? We had revival here all the time. We used to kid me, say, boy, I hope they don't jump too hard. They'll jump down through the floor. They'll find herself in the basement. But God kept the floor. Nobody went down into the basement. And we're all just fine, right? We took our eyes off the floor, placed them on Jesus, knowing he's holding the whole building together. So that means the floor too, right? And we went ahead and did God's will. All right, so we have to be fully sold out to God's will for our lives. The next thing asked of Gideon was to thrash down the altar of Baal and rebuild the altar of God. He had to tear down all those altars. How could God set Israel free when they weren't even worshiping him anymore? You can worship God with your food. Got to have a cup of coffee. That's an idol you're worshiping. I can't start my day without a cup of coffee. When I was working, people would say that all the time. Got to have that cigarette. I'm not going to be able to survive. You're worshiping an idol. Whatever. I can't lose my kids. No, we can lose my kids. They're idols to you. My constant prayer is, God, these are your children. You told me so. And you just gave them to me to raise up in your ways. And if you decide to take them home, then that's your decision because they're your children, right? And I'm not going to die with them. There's just things to think about. All right. To be sold out, we must tear down anything in our lives we make greater than God. It may be your problems, finances, your house, job, or car. Even your loved ones can hold a greater place in your life than God. I'm just going to tell myself for a second. I said, just the other night, I said, God, all I ever wanted in life was somebody to love me. And that hasn't happened yet. And God said, what are you talking about? And I said, I haven't really had anybody to love me. He said, I love you. He said, why do you look for man to love you when I love you? He said, don't go down that road. I've never voiced it before, but it's always been here, But I finally voiced it, and he says, don't go down that road. I'm your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your husband. I'm all that you have need of. So I have to take my eyes off of what I've always desired and keep my eyes on God, or I'm going to lose out. All right? All right, now I'm not saying to not pay attention to these things that we just talked about here, or it is wrong to have them, but don't serve them. Don't serve them. Whatever you make greater than God Almighty, you must replace it with a dwelling place fit for Him. My kids always want to know if I love my son. I love you more than life itself, but I love God more. They can't quite understand it. What if we die? Then I'll just have to bury you because I still love God more. I can't lose my salvation because God decides to take you on home. I'm asked those questions quite often. And see, that has to be your reply too. So, you really do love them and you show them you love them, but you can't idolize them. This is what happens to mothers and fathers. They start idolizing their kids, and then their kids become first place instead of God. All right, whatever you make greater than God Almighty, you must replace it with a dwelling place place fit for Him. And this dwelling place is in your heart. This dwelling place is in your heart. In your heart, God has to have first place. Always. It is so important for us to have a pure heart toward God and make Him the desire of our lives. It says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what I said was, it is so important for us to have a pure heart toward God and make Him the desire of our lives. As we sell out to Jesus, we are fit to see Him use our lives. As we sell out to Jesus, we are fit to see Him use our lives. When we are pure in heart, we will not look at all the doubts, fears, and anything else that would take our eyes off of Christ, because we are sold out to His plan. His plan is to use you to get others free. His plan is to use you to get others free. Now, this wasn't the end of Gideon's battle. In fact, it was just the beginning. The Bible tells us that the enemy could not be numbered, just as the sands of the sea or the grasshoppers are in the field. You can read those when you go home. There was no way to even begin counting them, and Gideon only had 300 men with him. What did he have at first? In the thousands, and then God finally brought it down to 300. However, we must remember they were the 300 men God chose. They were the 300 men that God chose. God's always told me, people come in and people leave. People come in and people leave. And God said, when When I finally get the men and the women I want to use to start revival in this church, then I'll start revival. And I'm going to start with just a handful. He didn't say 1,000, or just a handful of people is all I'm going to have when I start the revival. So if you're looking for a multitude, it's not going to happen. God always starts small, and God always told me, don't despise small beginnings. He doesn't want you to start out with 1,000. You can't even control yourself, let alone 1,000 other people. All right? All right, isn't the Lord good? I love the way he works. He took what seemed to be a lack, you know, but talking about Gideon, and caused it to be more than enough to defeat the enemy. You may feel that what you have inside of you is not enough to defeat everything that may come against you, but you are more than a conqueror. And God keeps drilling that into our little heads, that we are more than conquerors, so you can handle anything that comes your way. Though you're fit, but say, all right, God, I'm going to go on and I'm going to do what you're calling me to do because I'm more than a conqueror and I can do this thing or you wouldn't ask me to do it. Gideon and his men each went to fight the enemy with nothing more than a trumpet, a lamp, and a pitcher. That's all they had. As they surrounded the camp, they sounded their trumpets, shined their lights, and broke their pitchers. And God caused their enemy to become so frightening they fought and killed one another. They had their lamps and they had their horns, but they never had to fight or kill anyone. All they had was they also had a shout, right? God took care of it. All we need is to shine our light in this dark world and proclaim the goodness of God with our trumpet, and God will take care of the rest. We are trying to make things happen, and it's not working. All we need is to shine our light in this dark world and proclaim the goodness of God with our trumpet, and God will take care of the rest. So quit trying to make things happen. Just mosey along, be still, and allow God to do what he wants to do. As long as you try to get all the blueprints together, it's never going to happen because you don't know how God's put them together and you're making a big mess of things, right? I preach this myself every day. Amen. Come on. It said, you may be the only one saved on your job or in your family. And how many can say that I'm the only one saved in my job or on my family, right? But if you sell yourself out to Jesus Christ and make him your number one desire, then God will use you to set all those people free from the bondage of sin. One of the kids in my house came into my study today and they said, I don't see how you make it. I just don't see how you've done it all these years. I can't even make it for a month. And look what you've had to go through all these years that I've always had Jesus. He always leads, guides, and directs, right? To shine your light in this day is to be a bearer of Christ. In other words, when people look at you, they see Jesus Christ in you. And you're not going to get rattled and undone. One of my members of my family yesterday was just acting like a fool. I said, you know, just chill. Calm down. How can you sit there and be so quiet and all this going on? I said, I'm not going to get in your mess. Just chill. Just be quiet. And it'd be all right. They went, ah, and walked out. And guess what? They went and chilled and it became all right. I saw you're doing is putting more fuel in the fire. Just leave it alone. And you know, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you aren't going to try to do things. You're going to say, Jesus, this you quietly to yourself as all hell's breaking around about you. Jesus, this is your battle, not mine. I'm going to sit back and watch what you do. You know how you bring it to pass. And really, truly, that's what I do. And if you do that, everything's going to turn out just fine, because you're not out there battling. That's not your job. When Jesus lives inside of us, it is our job to go to those trapped in the bondage of sin and reach out to them with everything God has placed within us and show them the love of God. That's our job. We must show them they are not forgotten and tell them of the one who gave his all just for them. This is your job. We're going to read that again. When Jesus lives inside of us, you have to ask yourself, does Jesus live inside of me? It is our job to go to those trapped in the bondage of sin and reach out to them with everything God has placed within us and show them the love of God. We must show them they are not forgotten and tell them of the one who gave his all just for them. Sometimes I wonder, do you have Jesus living in you? I'm hearing God say, yeah, I'm on the rooftop, yeah, let me in, and nobody's letting me in. Come on. Never say, I can't do what God has asked me to do. You know I've said I've done that to God. Because God knows the abilities within you. He put them there. He knows what we are capable of doing and asks for nothing more than our very best. You know, whenever you say, I just can't do this thing, you know, you just don't trust and believe that God would never ask you to do something you can't handle. Why would he ask you to go out there and fail? Now, ask yourself that. That would be dumb, because you're bragging on God and you go out there and do something. God told me to do it, and then you fail. That's going to give God a bad name. So if you fail, it's because God didn't ask you to do it. All right? It's because you're out there and did it all on your own, and then you're blaming God, and you can't do that. Because if God asked you to do something, it's going to turn out just the way God wants it to. When you sell out to God, he will take what seems like a weakness and cause it to be your strength. We must be the Gideon of today and sell ourselves out for Jesus Christ. You know, that's when I was young. You know, my father and my stepmother used to go out every night and have a beer. They weren't alcoholic, just go have a beer and come home. Well, I was put in charge of the other, well, we had about 8 kids then. And if one of them didn't do what was right, I'd get a spanking. When they spanked you in those days, they used their leather belts, right? And I said, Daddy, why are you spanking me for something they did? He said, because you're the oldest, and you have more sense, and you should make sure they don't get in trouble. So I started making, I didn't care what they were supposed to do. I did it myself, because I didn't want to be woke up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning with a belt in somebody's hand getting beat for something somebody else didn't do. And my sister, she was older, 2 years older than I, she hated to do dishes. Her job is to dry, my job is to wash. And she'd always leave. So it's one night, and I'm not drying these dishes, you know, big old me. And so I just let the dishes sit. Well, here come my father waking me up with his belt in hand. Get down to the kitchen. He said, why are those dishes not dried? I said, well, she left the house. He said, that doesn't matter. You should have made sure they were dried. I got a spanking. Had to rewash the dishes and dry them and put them away. No one that dumb of me. Just go ahead and dry the dumb dishes. I could save myself a whole lot of pain, right? Come on. Y'all do the same thing. You don't do what you're supposed to do for God, then you get your spanking from him, takes you to the woodshed, then you throw a fit. All you have to do is do what you're supposed to do. And my father always said, you're the oldest, so you have to make sure everything's done right. So just think about what you used to do or what you're even doing today. Are you really doing what's right for God? Or you say, well, I'm not going to do it because they're not doing it, so I'm not going to do it. That's dumb. Totally dumb. Our number one priority has to stay focused on building God's kingdom. When you are sold out, people can take whatever they want from you, but they can't take your desire and love for Jesus Christ. Come on. They can take away everything, but they can never take away God's plan for your life to reach souls for him. Are you listening here? Let's read that again. When you are sold out, people can take whatever they want from you, but they can't take your desire and love for Jesus Christ. They can take away everything, but they can never take away God's plan for your life to reach souls for him. And that's what our whole plan is. We are called to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Come on. Somebody asked me the other day, how did you make it in your marriage when you knew your husband was committing adultery? How did you stay sane? And how did you keep functioning and doing all the things you did? I said, I'm sold out to God. Because I'm sold out to God, it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing to me or around me. It's not affecting me. If I'm sold out to God, it's not affecting me. It's affecting their lives eventually. So I don't have to get all upset and beside myself. I can just stay sold out to God and let God take care of it. Now, that doesn't say I don't get upset about things, because I do. But the bottom line is, God, you're in control of this whole thing. It's yours, and I have to stay sold out to you. I cannot allow these things to take my mind off of Christ. All right. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, it wasn't that we were doing anything great, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, not when he was on the cross, but before the world began. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Luke 9:57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, this is Jesus, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. How many of you all said that the first time you, little thing come along, you just stopped dead in your tracks? I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So he's saying, if you're going to follow me, you're not going to get anything. Right? I don't have nothing to give you except salvation. And he said, Jesus said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And Jesus was saying, if you're not going to give me everything, don't bother me. Right up front, he told me, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want all 100% or I don't want you at all. I need all of you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And people frown at me when I say I don't go to family outings, you know, if there's a church, something in church going on. But I don't ask you to do that. I'm sold out to God, and this is what I'm supposed to do, just like God told these people. You know, we have to make our own choices in life. Either you're sold out 100% or you're only sold out 99%. I mean, that's the facts. It's in the Word, right? And God told me, I want sold out people right now. I need sold out people to do the work that I need done. Our prayer should be, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Come on. Now, I didn't tell you not to do things with your family. I said, my job is to be about the Father's business. You and God have your own little plan going, and I don't know what it is. So don't say, wow, Pastor Barbara said it, maybe get under condemnation. Well, if you did, then you got a problem. I don't. I'm telling you what God's told me to do. All right? All right, my sister, let me see, which one is my youngest sister, died in Florida. And we were having a revival here. And I didn't go. Well, that was terrible. My family just about disowned me over that. I said I had to be about the Father's business. I had a revival going on and I was a speaker. I couldn't come. And my sister knows, even though she's not, she knows why I didn't come. They said, we had to get another pastor to, do the funeral. I said, you never asked me to do the funeral. You just called and told me she passed away. And, you know, that same thing happened with my sister 2 years younger than I am. She passed away. And I knew she was in the hospital sick, but they called me and said that she passed away. I said, all right. And I was having some health issues. I knew if it wouldn't be good. And so I didn't go. Well, I was going to go for the funeral, but not go down there for a week before. And so I called and I said, when are you holding the funeral? They said, we buried her today and don't bother calling us again. You didn't love her enough to be here, so don't bother calling us again. So that was fine. That was fine. But I have my eyes on Jesus, and I know what I have to do. And I'm not telling you don't go to a funeral. Brother Chris will tell you I do not like funerals. I never go visit a graveyard. My family said, why don't you go and visit everybody's died except me and my brother. Why don't you go to the graveyard? I said, they're not in there. They're not in there. And I said sometimes, and I talked to them in heaven, you know. But that's me. That's me. That's not you. You do what you have determined your heart to do. Well, in fact, when my first brother, when my twin brother, well, I had twin brothers, and when one of them died, it was all I could do to go to the funeral because we were so close. And then every time I went home to Pennsylvania, they said, come on, let's go visit his grave. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, I was the worst thing in the world. You claim to be a Christian. We won't even go to the grave and visit your brother. I said, he's in heaven. He's not in that hole. Amen. I mean, that's how I feel about it. All right. God said, what do you have in your hand? What are you going to do with what you have in your hand? I would like, and God said, I would like you to take whatever it is and allow me to use it for my glory. Now Romans 12:4 says, tells us that each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, right? And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So God says, what do you have in your hand? It says here, we each have different gifts. Now, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. This is why God's saying, what's in your hand? Are you a prophet? Then go ahead and prophesy. If it's serving, let him serve. We don't have not one servant in this whole church. All right, so the serving gift must have not been picked up when you was picking up your gifts. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. That's what God's asking you. What is in your hand? Then he said, I would like to take whatever it is and allow me to use it for my glory. Grace is his dancing with the flags. He wants that, and he wants to work through her to use her for his glory. Barbara has the glow, and God wants that aglow, and he wants to work through her to bring a glow to where he wants it to be. Are you understanding this? That's what's in your hands. Now, we all have a body, and that body has parts that do different things. My hands serve the body differently than my feet. My ears serve the body differently than my eyes. My heart serves the body differently than my lungs. And yet my earthly body functions best when all those parts do their job. Try having a bad heart and trying to breathe. Because if your heart's not pumping right, you can't breathe right, right? Try having your fingers cut off and you find out you can't use your hand like you used to, right? Your purpose in the body of Christ is different than the person next to you. Okay, you're a prophet. I'm going to be a prophet. No, that's not how God works. Your purpose in the body of Christ is different than the person next to you. And the body of Christ needs you. It needs you, or God wouldn't place you in the body of Christ. If part of my body ceases to function, my body cannot function well. It suffers. And if each one of you here don't use your gifting, then it causes the whole body to suffer. All right? And I'm hearing God say this carries over into your homes. If you don't use the giftings that you have in your home, then your family is not going to function properly. All right? And if now, since you have a gift from God, if you don't use it, the church will be less than it could be. If you're an intercessor, then you should be interceding for each and every service that we have. Do you know all great ministries have people, they either have a room in their church or people go and pray through the whole service? Or if you go overseas, they get underneath a stadium and pray underneath the stadium the whole time they're preaching and administering what's going on. That's their gift. They're intercessors. So what they do is intercede so God can move. All right, then I said, offer unto God what he has placed in your hand. My question to you is, what is in your hand? And that means whatever is in your care or control. This could be money, possessions, influence, talents, abilities, and more. What you withhold and retain in your hand reveals what is in your heart. Well, I can scrub the floor, but I'm not about to go to that church and scrub their floor. After all, I didn't dirty it. See what I'm saying? If you have a gifting and don't use it, what you withhold and retain in your hand reveals what's in your heart. Release what you're holding. God is waiting to use what he has placed in your hands. You know, when I was first born again, I went to a little church out in the country, and the both pastors, husband and wife, both work. And I went in there and found out nobody would clean the church. So I was going to college. I was building my home. You know, and I was working. But yet I told the pastor, I will come every Saturday and clean this church. So I went every Saturday and cleaned the church from top to bottom, windows and everything. And then she quit her job, retired or whatever. And she said, Barbara, I'll take over cleaning now because you have your hands full. I said, no. I was also a deacon in the church. I said, no. Your job as the pastor is to be studying so you can feed us. I don't care if you're retired or not. You study. I'll be here every Saturday to clean the church. And I was there every Saturday to clean that church until you kicked me out. The husband died and the wife kicked me out. But I was diligent. I could clean. I knew how to clean. I liked a clean place. I've always told God, if I ever have a church or I'm ever in a church, your church should be immaculate. Your church should be number one priority. It should always be clean. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. And if I'm in a dirty church, I get very upset because you are not doing what you're supposed to. God's house comes before your house. That's just how I feel. I don't care how you feel. That's just how I feel. So I said, release what you're holding. God is waiting to use what he has placed in your hands. Now, first of all, God wants sold out people. And I'm hearing God say, if you have a talent and you don't give it to him, then he doesn't want you. You're wasting your time. But tonight, he would like for you to give to him what you're holding in your hand, your gifting. And as you release that gifting to him and say, God, I want to release this gifting that you've given me to you, and I'm going to use it 100%. God is going to place an anointing upon you that you'll be able to carry that through, and it won't wear you out. So the altar is open for those of you that want to let go of what you're holding on to and you won't use, because I'm hearing God say, because you're Scrooge, and you just won't use your talent. All right, so let's just say, you know, like Sister Barbara has the real estate that she does, and she has a glow that she does, yet because nobody will vacuum the church, shampoo the carpet, she comes every so often and shampoos the carpets. Even as busy as she is, she knows how to shampoo a carpet. And so she comes in and shampoos a carpet, and I think that's a shame that she has to do that. Now, that's just where I'm at with that. So I want each one of you to sit there and think for a second. Remember, I hope your word the whole time was teaching this. What is my gifting? And what am I holding back from God? Well, I'm not going to do it because they don't do it. That doesn't cut it with God. How many of you hear that in your home? Your kids say, well, they're not doing it, so I'm not going to do it either. I get so upset with that. And I get upset with that when people in the body of Christ don't really say that. But their actions show that that's how they feel. So God's waiting. And if you really want to tell him, God, I want to give you everything I'm holding in my hand today so you can use it for your glory. The altar's open. And I'm hearing God say, if you're not going to surrender all, don't come up. I know you might think that's harsh, but he wants 100% of you, not 99.9. You know, some of you sold yourself out to the devil and you allowed the devil to use your body very well. So what's holding you back from selling out to God if he was really top priority in your life? You need to think about that. This is something new. You know, every service God seems to be doing something new in us. I think we've already attained, and then he brings up something else that we haven't doing.